The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
You're listening to the PVD Cast with John Orlando.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 418. I hope you're doing well out there, and thank you very much for checking out this edition of the PVD Cast. I know many of you are probably wondering if I'm going to talk about movies again. No, I think 2 weeks in a row is plenty of movie talk for the time being. In fact, today's topic is one that I don't know has been on the PVD Cast in a number of years. It is the topic of business. And when it comes to business, my guest, Mr. Rich Perry, knows quite a bit about that topic. In fact, he is a business communication strategist, and he's a mentor for entrepreneurs. He's also co-authored the book Bankroll Your Mind, and he's also the host of the 10-Minute Mentor podcast. And he's got a bunch of other projects that we are going to talk about. But I'm going to admit something real quick. Prior to talking to Rich, I was a little bit anxious because I'm not a business guru. And I was afraid that maybe I wouldn't necessarily be on the same wavelength as Rich. But I am glad to say that little bit of doubt was totally wrong. Rich and I have a great conversation. We talk about his projects. We talk about his work. We also talk about his philosophy about life, and we even talk a little bit about his personal background and how much he loves hip-hop. And so it turned out to be a great conversation, and I'm going to get to that conversation in just a minute, but I need to thank a great sponsor of this podcast. Of course, I'm talking about World's Greatest Comics. You hear me all the time read this copy and tell you about how World's Greatest Comics in Westerville, Ohio, is one of the greatest comic book stores on the planet. And I'm going to do it again, first of all. But secondly, it's the truth. They've got everything you want for your fandom, whether it's single issues, whether it's graphic novels, collections, toys, collectibles, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues. No matter what it is, they got it. And if they don't have it, I'm sure Jeff and the fine folks will seek it out for you. So, if you're in Central Ohio, stop by the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. You can also check them out online. WGComics.com is their website, and they're pretty active on their Facebook page. Check them out at WG Comics. And again, I can't say it enough. Thank you very much, World's Greatest Comics, for being a great sponsor of this podcast for the last number of years. I truly, truly mean it. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear my conversation with Rich Perry. So, ladies and gentlemen, this evening, I'm sitting down with Mr. Rich Perry, a man that says that he is a business communication strategist. And we'll get into what that means and all the ins and outs of his career and the many things he has going on. But Rich, how are you this evening?
Hey, John, thanks a lot for inviting me to the conversation and to chat with you and your listeners as well. It's a good Friday here in northeastern Pennsylvania. A little chilly, but hey, what are you going to do?
It's Wilkes-Barre, right?
Yeah. Wilkes-Barre, okay. Scranton area, northeastern Pennsylvania. Yep.
Were you originally born there or...?
No, we're actually from New York City. So I grew up, born in New York City. I was actually raised in the Poconos. And then I went to school, college here in the Wilkes-Barre area. I went to King's College. And then I kind of stayed in northeastern Pennsylvania for most of my adult life. I did a quick stint in Texas, but then came back to this area.
I like that. A quick stint. It's it sounds very technical and fancy, Rich.
Yeah. Well, I went down there when my buddy and I released our book, Bankroll Your Mind. He's from the Austin area, and I didn't realize how big Texas actually was. I had another friend in Dallas-Fort Worth area, so I thought, oh, I'll go stay with my buddy in Dallas-Fort Worth, kind of get the lay of the land, and then I'll be able to travel back and forth to Austin. Well, I didn't realize that it was like a four-hour difference in, you know, and I learned how big Texas actually was at that point in time.
Well, let's help our listeners out here real quick, because I said that your title that you have is a business communication strategist. Maybe for those folks that are listening, what does that title actually mean? What is the responsibility of someone that has that title?
Sure. So it could be internal communications. How are you communicating with the people in your business, whether it's your employees, up and down the ladder, things like that. It could be communicating with vendors. It could also be, how are you communicating your message to your people, to your audience, whether that is in real life, you know, giving public presentations, public speaking, going out into the community, networking, sharing ideas. Could also be on the social webs, you know, all the different social media platforms out there. Are you blogging? Are you vlogging? Are you podcasting just like this to communicate your message effectively? There's a lot of different channels to get that message out. Sometimes we need a little guidance with finding the right channel, also finding the right ways to say what it is that we want to say to reach the right people.
Would it be correct of me to state that probably the single biggest hurdle in business is this communication piece?
Could be. You know, the funny thing is, because we're social creatures, we talk all the time, we're, you know, speaking with the person in the cubicle next door, or we're talking with our buddies on Facebook and LinkedIn and Instagram and everything like that. But because we do it so often, sometimes people have difficulty realizing the importance of it. And are we doing it effectively? As I said, you know, you might have your, and I'll say this because I'm teaching a course through Johns Hopkins University right now, we're on LinkedIn, right? And we're trying to reach our target audience, but are we doing it effectively? Are we reaching the right people through the written word, the spoken word, the visual images that we use to communicate that bit of information? So it's finding the right way to reach that person through those channels.
When you do that, when you are sitting down and you're mapping out a communication plan for someone, for a client, what are some of the things you need to know in advance to best help them reach their goals?
Yeah. So definitely one of the first things you want to find out are their strengths. You want to find out, are they going to be the one doing the speaking themselves? If it's a bigger company or a bigger organization, they're probably going to have maybe that PR person or maybe that face of the organization that will be communicating the message. If it's an entrepreneur, a coach, someone like that, they're probably going to be doing it themselves, right? Also want to find out their strengths, all right? Are they going to be doing video format? Are they going to be doing podcasting? Are they good with the written word? Are they going to be blogging? And then obviously, of course, you want to find out, who are they communicating to? Is this an internal communication channel? Are we just setting up communications for our employees, making sure that they're being taken care of, making sure they're in the loop of what's going on? Or is this like an external communication plan? Are we reaching out to people through social media? So it's identifying those channels to be more effective.
And I know that you've been doing this for quite a while, and we'll go into your background and whatnot in a little bit. In fact, I think you say you've been doing this 20 years.
Yeah, I've been doing like marketing and communications for a long time. I got my start in college radio, of all places, because
okay,
I mean it's an interesting story, because I went there for psychology. I had this grand idea that I wanted to help people and be a therapist. And then as I, you know, was touring the school, they were like, hey, you got to join a club, you know, get more active on college campus. And I thought, oh, I'll join the radio station. That looks pretty cool. And then from there, I got into marketing because everyone wanted to talk to the radio hosts and get their events broadcast on the college radio station. And then from there, I started doing marketing, and I've always done that part time. And then recently, I left the mental health space to pursue marketing full time or business full time.
Well, I was going to say that over those 20 years, you've probably seen quite a few changes. What do you think is the biggest change that you've seen in this business communication field?
Social media.
Yeah, I figured that you were going to say that. I definitely, I'm not surprised by that because I think that that has changed our lives, period, whether professional or personal, obviously. But I didn't know if you had any other insights to anything else that maybe popped in your mind when that question was thrown at you.
Yeah, and I guess I'll also say most recently, like AI and some people relying too much on artificial intelligence to reach their people. And then some people just not embracing it at all and really blackballing it or just not giving it the chance that it needs. I think maybe finding that healthy mix of relying on it to some degree, but not relying on it too much is always how I encourage my clients and the people that I work with. You know, I mean, it could certainly be helpful. Mm-hmm. Then there's times that you read someone's copy in the body of their post and it's like, man, this is definitely written by an AI software. It wasn't written by a person in any way, shape, or form. And it loses that human touch, you know? It loses that, hey, are they really writing it for me? Are they really trying to communicate with me? Or, you know, did some guy just put in a couple prompts and not really care about who it was intended for?
Can you maybe think of an example of how AI could be used in a positive manner for business communication? Because we all, what you just said there, I know that that's a major gripe that I hear about AIs. It's impersonal. It maybe doesn't get the nuances correct as to how we speak as human beings. Can you think or give me an example or give us an example, I should say, of some of those positives?
Yeah. So, I mean, maybe you're a small business owner, or, you know, you're someone trying to launch a blog, but your time is limited because, you know, you're short-staffed or you're doing it all yourself. You're that business owner that wears a lot of hats, right? But you know the importance of blogging. You might be able to utilize AI to get that base for the blog. So you put in your prompts, you know, I want to speak about this topic. I'm reaching this audience. Write a blog article utilizing these three tips or these five tips. And you input a couple more key ideas into the ChatGPTs of the world. And then it spits back at you that foundation or maybe that structure of the blog article. Then it's time for you to go in and give it that human touch, right? So it spits out maybe 500 words or 600 words. It kind of gives you the general facts that we've all established, right? But now you have to go in and maybe take out some of the more, take out some of the dry verbiage that the AI is using. Add some personal experiences, add things from your personality or maybe your brand that really make that blog article come to life. And then you've got a good 700 to 1,000 word blog article, which is really great, you know, and you've beefed it up with your personal experience or your brand experience, your brand image that now the reader is looking at it like, oh, wow, this is pretty valuable. I've got the tips. And clearly this person wrote it from their own life experience. They've shared some personal ideas. It's got some personality to it. That's a great way of using AI in a good way, so that, you know, it gave you that foundation, but then you still made it personal. So that would be a suggestion for any people out there that wear multiple hats. Maybe they don't have time to construct that blog article, but you can use AI for that base and then give it some flair.
And it probably cuts down on the amount of work time for the independent entrepreneur who might need to be doing something else, and kind of shorten that time frame up.
Absolutely. Because anyone who's been blogging, you know, sometimes it takes time to really construct that good article that's going to draw some eyeballs and get people paying attention to what it is that you have to say. And if you're looking to build thought leadership, you're probably going to have to do this on a consistent basis. Blogging maybe weekly or biweekly or monthly or whatever it is, it's going to build up over time. So using tools that will help you cut the time, like you said, John, that's a great idea. And you should definitely utilize technology to cut time where possible.
When you've mentioned your book that you co-authored, you mentioned it just a few moments ago, Bankroll Your Mind. So a couple of questions about that. Tell the listeners what they can expect if they pick up a copy and they start reading through it. What tips, what experiences, et cetera, are in that book that folks can certainly take something away from?
Bankroll Your Mind, written by myself and my buddy Lawrence Pipkin, is our sexy way of saying reprogram your mind. Okay, we wanted something catchy, and Bankroll Your Mind was what we came up with. So reprogramming your mind for success. So a lot of it has to do with like mindset tips and tricks to help you think positively, you know, think pinpoint going towards success. You know, we were definitely inspired by the greats like Napoleon Hill as we were writing that book. Okay. When I first started, I focused more on empowerment coaching because I had that background as a therapist. So utilizing those ideas, they were easily transferable for me as that empowerment coach, as that life coach. Over time, I transitioned more into communications and marketing, but I do have that base as a motivational coach and as a life coach, as an empowerment coach, from my years as a therapist. So we've got some cool things in there to help you, like I said, reprogram your mind, all mindset related.
Can I put you on the spot and ask you, what do you think is the most helpful technique that maybe you present in the book? Oh, I'm sorry, I put you on the spot, big time, didn't I?
How about reframing? That's something that I've had to use many times in my life, especially when you're set up with a difficult challenge. Okay. And reframing is, we've all heard taking those lemons and making lemonade, right? So you're handed a difficult challenge and you decide to see the bright side of it. You know, you've been dealt a difficult hand and you look at it like, how can I turn this around and make the most from this experience? And a lot of times in our lives, we need to utilize those reframing techniques to take that adversity, take those difficulties and say, hey, how can I prevail in this situation? You know, it could be that blessing in disguise. We don't necessarily see it right then and there, but over time we're like, oh yeah, okay, it was definitely a blessing in disguise.
Was this your first book that you authored?
It was the first full book. So the first time I got the opportunity to be an author, I was a co-author in a book series. The book series is The Change, Insights into Self-Empowerment. And I think right now they're probably in the 20s of volumes that they've had so many different co-authors over time. I was in book 5. And that was a really great opportunity. So for any listeners out there that are thinking about authoring a book, but you know that writing your own book is a daunting challenge. I mean, you know, you got to write a couple thousand words, right? 10,000 at least, if not 20 more or 20,000. And those are the books that are like 150 to 200 pages. So joining like a joint venture project where you're maybe only responsible for one chapter or maybe two chapters is more, it's a lot more palatable. It's okay, I can wrap my head around putting out one chapter or two chapters that will be part of a more comprehensive volume. So for anyone that is thinking about writing that first book, maybe join a joint venture or maybe partner up with a couple colleagues and split it up that way. That also gives you that foundation for what it's going to take to really sit down and write your book by yourself, because it could be a process.
Let's talk about the process. Okay. Sure. When you sat down with Lawrence, what was the process for actually writing the book? Because I'm always curious. You know, I know people have different ways that they like to do it. There's, you know, there's the old school outlining and you know, then I've even known people to do like giant walls with the whiteboard, map things out. I'm always curious what works best for those individuals that are creating prose or whatnot.
We actually did the second way that you said, the mind map. So we got the big. We did it on the floor. We didn't do it on the wall because we were in two different states at the time. But yeah, I mean, we had our white wall on the computer screen. So we used a program. I think it's actually called like Mind Maps or something like that. It's an app for on the Mac. But we basically put all the ideas, all the concepts, all the thoughts that we had on the mind map. And then we started to separate and chunk, okay, these two go together, these three go together, these four go together. And then we started to, from there, draw out the outline of, okay, these are going to be like these chapter ideas will be in this section of the book. These chapter ideas will be in this section of the book. Okay, this one is a great idea, but it really doesn't fit in anywhere of the sections. All right, we're going to throw this one out, or maybe, you know, utilize it in a blog article or something like that. So that's really how we started to take all the stuff floating around in the world and all the ideas and really put it into what would be the book. And then it was a matter of saying, okay, well, these are my chapters, these are your chapters. We started writing from there because we wanted that cohesive singular voice. We started sharing our chapters back and forth and allowed the other person to contribute ideas as well. And that gave it kind of one unifying voice. And the only time we wanted the reader to know who was actually speaking was when it was like a personal story. And only then during the personal story in that block text, we would put the little RP or LP to just let the reader know, hey, this is Rich's life story or this is Lawrence's life story. But other than that, we didn't want the reader to know who was speaking. We wanted it to be one unified voice.
And obviously the book was very successful. I read it was on the top 10 lists of many, many, many different literary countdowns, I guess you could say, or literary lists. Literary list. That doesn't sound very. that's a tongue twister, but you know what I mean.
Right.
It definitely was. The feedback was positive.
And you know, it started us. You know, we did a lot of presentations. We got on a lot of podcasts and interviews and things like that. We did a bunch of seminars based around the book. It was certainly something that helped catapult us into the world of being an author, as well as being a speaker and coaching and things like that. It was definitely a great experience. I enjoyed the whole process of writing it and getting together and doing the seminars and things like that. So it was well worth it.
I'm going to interrupt my conversation with Rich for just one moment to talk to you about World's Greatest Comics. They are your one-stop shop for all your comic book related needs. They've got single issues, graphic novels, collections, toys, collectibles, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues. They got you covered for your fandom. You need to check them out if you're in the Central Ohio area. Their address is 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. Or you can check them out online. Their website is wgcomics.com and they're pretty active on the Facebook page. Just search for @WG Comics. let's move on to another endeavor that you have. It is that you are the host of a podcast, The 10-Minute Mentor with Rich Perry. And I got to say, I've watched a few of them. Please don't put me on the spot. I don't remember which ones they were. But I found it to be, at least for me, I would listen to something like that because to me, I think that I personally absorb more when it's shorter. So I commend you for that. And I would like to know how you manage to take some big topics and squeeze it down to 10 minutes.
That's why I decided on the 10-Minute Mentor was because I know that busy people have a lot of stuff going on. And it's like, how do I find time sometimes to listen to a long, in-depth like interview or a long, in-depth narrative podcast? So I said, okay, well, I'm busy and I know the struggle of what it's like. You know, you don't want to like put it on pause and come back to it 5 hours later or the next day. So that'll be my thing. I'll do quick little, what I deem as like coaching sessions, right? So it's just like, hey, I've got this one question. I just want this one answer. And that's how I designed the podcast. And you said you watched it. So you're talking about the live stream that I did on YouTube. And I just try to break it down because the one thing that I noticed, and if any content creators or maybe speakers that are listening to this podcast right now, John, sometimes it's more difficult to do a short form piece of content than it is to just sit back and just talk, right? Sometimes it, like if you're doing like an Instagram, like a short, right? Like a reel or like a short on YouTube, and you only have that 30 seconds or that 60 seconds and you keep running against the end and you're like, oh, damn it. Like, I got to shorten this up. I got to shorten this up. I got to tighten this up. I got to make this. So it challenged me to be better at what it is that I'm trying to communicate. And I just broke it down like, okay, how can I say this in the easiest way possible? And I'll, like, if it's a long, elaborate topic, I'll break it up into 2, 3, 4 parts because I know I can only say it in 10 minutes and I have intro, I have outro, like that's, those seconds count, you know?
Mm-hmm. I can understand wholeheartedly. And you're absolutely right. Trying to do something short is 10 times more difficult than going, oh, I'll just go a half hour. You know, that like, I totally get it. Now, you also have another podcast called The Daily Minute with Rich. So talk to us about the difference between this project and the 10-Minute Mentor.
Yeah, so the Daily Minute is, I haven't done that in a while, all right, full transparency. But I loved The Daily Minute. And The Daily Minute was as simple as me wanting to share some positive words, some inspiring messages to the world. And it was like maybe a motivational quote from Napoleon Hill or, you know, and anyone else that, you know, we're inspired by, with Tony Robbins and this and that, you know, Dale Carnegie. And it was just a minute message, just here's the quote, maybe here's my insight based on it, or here's a quick message for you, you're about to start the day. And people really enjoyed it, and it was enjoyable for me because I felt like I was making a positive impact. And you know, sometimes it was more for me, and then anyone who like me was kind of going through it that day. There was a lot of times when like the message that I was communicating was just therapy for myself. Like, hey, I just gotta say this for myself and let other people listen to it as well.
Well, let's transition here and talk a little bit about you. Okay. So I just, this popped in my head, this question, because I think we all can experience it. It's relatable to every single person on the planet. What did you really want to do with your life when you was a kid? When you were a child, like what did Rich want to do?
Let me ask you, because I guarantee you're not going to get this one.
Okay.
What would be, knowing what I've just told you in the past like 20 minutes, what would you guess?
Well, I'm going to stick with what you did in college. I'm going to say radio DJ.
Okay. All right. I was going to go with that.
That's what I'm going to go with.
The actual answer is archaeologist, because like a kid from the 80s, I loved Indiana Jones and I loved digging stuff up. And I was convinced that I was going to find dinosaur bones in my backyard, and I never found any dinosaur bones. It wasn't until I was a senior in high school that I had an introduction to psychology class. And I was like, wow, this is awesome. Like, I love learning about this stuff. I've always wanted to help people. Like, I was big into Boy Scouting growing up. So like doing community service and, you know, doing good things in the community, helping others. And that was always important to me. And then when I came into that introduction to psychology class in high school, I was like, oh, this is really interesting. Like, maybe I'll do that. And the teacher at my high school teacher was like, oh, if you want to major in psychology, you know, one of the colleges actually in our town is really good for psychology. So consider, as much as you want to go to like somewhere else, as much as you want to travel to a university outside the area, you might want to actually stay local and go to this college because they have a great psych program. And that's what I did. And like I told you before, I got involved in college radio, and, you know, then I was a daytime therapist and nighttime radio host or record label marketing guy. So doing a couple things.
Okay, I have to ask, your favorite Indiana Jones movie?
Holy Grail, just because, I don't know, like that one was just my favorite.
Okay. Have you seen the newest one, the latest one?
Yes, and I was actually having a conversation with my buddy. Now, I liked the one before that. What was it, the Crystal Skull?
Oh, the Crystal Skulls? Okay.
I enjoyed that because... We're really going to go down the rabbit hole with this quick answer, but like the idea of like the Anunnaki, like, has always intrigued me. Like, I've, you know, read a lot of books about that. And I know that that was kind of incorporated with the Crystal Skull. And as much as I liked that idea, like, I feel like it just didn't have that Indiana Jones vibe to it. Mm-hmm. You know, like I don't want to be a hater. Like, I enjoyed it, but I just didn't feel like it had that vibe to it. But I feel like the newest one, they brought it back to that, the old 80s, the original Indiana Jones. And I just felt like it had more of that original vibe to it. Do you agree? Do you disagree?
Yes, I do. My the only thing that I just felt like it abruptly ended. Like, it just, to me, I'm like, we're done. Yeah. Marion's here. We're done. Okay. And I just, like, I would have liked that ending to give it 4 or 5 more minutes to breathe and, like, just kind of wrap it up. But I agree with you. It was a throwback to Raiders of the Lost Ark, to Temple of Doom, to, right. You know, it was fun. It was just really, really well done. And I'll be honest, I had low expectations. I'm not going to lie. Yeah. I was like, you know, it's an older Harrison Ford. It's, how are they going to do this? And I was like, I don't know. But my girlfriend really wanted to watch it. So we watched it about a month or so ago on Max. And I'm glad that we did, because it is a fun movie. So what do you like to do when you're not working?
Oh, man. Go for runs. Definitely enjoy my runs. Travel when I can. For the longest time, like, I wasn't able to, because for the last 2.5 years, I was going through graduate school. I went back from my MBA, and I didn't have the opportunity to, like, really get away. So something that I treated myself with was, for that 1 week in between terms, I started forcing myself to go away, even if it was just a quick little weekend getaway to, like, Baltimore, you know, three hours away. I did that just because I needed something to treat myself, but also to get away from the books. And yeah.
I also read where you have a black belt in martial arts.
I do. That was something growing up, that was always important to me. So I studied jiu-jitsu growing up, and then like around college, I kind of, you know, left it for a little while. And then more recently, I got back into it, studying traditional Japanese swordsmanship. I recently had to take another break just for some life things, but, you know, I plan on going back to that as well. But yeah, that's, it's always been an interest of mine and something that I've enjoyed doing for both physical as well as mental and just, you know, teaching me about life.
And if there's any hecklers out there, they're going to give you a hard time during one of your speaking engagements. There's some karate chops coming their way, right?
That's right. That's right.
Okay. Well, I have a couple more questions here and then we'll wrap things up, Rich.
Yeah.
While doing research, I saw some various different photos of you, obviously at places, you know, like Podfest and whatnot. You have tattoos, and I believe the tattoos obviously tell a lot about an individual. So do you have a favorite? I know that may be hard to determine because, you know, they're all, I know, probably special to you, but do you have a couple of pieces that you like to talk about?
Yeah. So on my left arm, it's a full sleeve, and there really isn't a short explanation for it, but it really encompasses my beliefs on life and spirituality. So it's got a bunch of different ideas that are woven together. And one of the reasons that it's so important to me was because it was kind of like a work in progress with my tattoo artist for well over a year. And we kind of worked on it together. Like I explained, hey, this is the idea that I'm going for, but you are the talented artist. So I trusted him to take my ideas and kind of put them on my skin. Another one that's my favorite, and it's one that gets a lot of questions, is because I'm a huge hip hop head. I've always loved hip hop. That was actually the radio show that I did back in college. I was big into like record label promotions and throwing shows and stuff like that for many years. I have the Hungry Hungry Hippos, but in hip hop scenarios. So the one Hungry Hungry Hippo is the MC, the other one's the DJ, the other one is the B-boy, and then the other one is the graffiti artist. And it's just this really cool, like, because for whatever reason, I liked that game, Hungry Hungry Hippos, from when we were kids. And I was like, yo, how can I? And it became like an inside joke. I would always reference Hungry Hungry Hippos for the longest time with my friends. And then I'm like, yo, I want to get Hungry Hungry Hippos as a tattoo, but I don't want to do it like the game. So I thought, hey, how can I make this personal? And it was incorporating the four hip hop elements with the Hungry Hungry Hippos. So it was just like this really cool design, but it's on my legs, so it doesn't get as much attention because I have to be wearing shorts, obviously.
Okay. All right. Who is, in your mind, in your opinion, who's top three greatest MCs?
I'm probably going to name ones that Aesop Rock is probably my favorite.
Yeah, Aesop Rock is fantastic. Yes, I agree.
Nice. Last Emperor from Philly. And Rakim.
Yes, Rakim's on my list. I love Eric B and Rakim. Love
nice,
them.
Nice. And yeah. Did you see that they just got nominated for, what is it, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
I did not hear that.
Yeah, I just saw on, I saw on Facebook and I saw on Instagram, just within the last day or two, I saw that they got a nomination for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So big up Eric B and Rakim.
Yeah, Rakim, one of them. I also was a huge Public Enemy. Huge Public Enemy fan. I still love their stuff. So Chuck D for me. Chuck D, actually, I tell everybody, he's my dream guest. Like people nice. Go, well, who would be your dream guest on your show? And it's Chuck D, hands down. Like I don't even think about it. Like hands down, him.
That's awesome. Yeah,
that would be awesome.
And shout out to you for knowing Aesop Rock, because that's kind of heady right there. You know, like if you know Aesop Rock, then I can tell you really get into lyrics, and because he's an acquired taste, you know.
He is. I'll tell you, I don't even remember how I found him. I think a buddy of mine recommended him, and I found him on YouTube. But Hail Mary Malin, that like joint project with him and
Blueprint.
Yes,
it's Blueprint,
yes.
Right?
I don't think it's Blueprint. It's Rob.
Rob Sonic.
Thank you. Like that, man. That's mind blowing. I was like, yeah. Oh man, that was really good. And Kirby. I love Kirby. It's a goofy song, but I dig it.
Have you ever seen the video for Kirby?
I have.
Where it's like him videotaping his cat running around the house.
Yeah,
it's such a creative thing. And actually, when I was mentioning before about record label promotions earlier in our conversation, the record label he was originally part of, Definitive Jux, LP's record label from the late 90s and early 2000s, I was on their street team just coming out of college. So like when I was in college, all I wanted to do was be on street teams and, you know, go to the shows for free and, you know, hand out the CDs and the sampler CDs and swag and things like that. And Definitive Jux was one of the record labels that I promoted for back in college. And that's how I got turned on to Ace, was, you know, just being on their street team and being the first one to get CDs and stuff like that. And
cool.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, last couple of questions. Two more questions, and we'll start wrapping things up with website, social media, and all that jazz. How do you manage to stay motivated?
How do I manage to stay motivated? Ooh, that's a good one. So I'm someone that always needs to be doing stuff, all right? Like I need to feel like I'm living out my purpose and that I'm contributing, whether it's, you know, just making myself better or, you know, just adding value to other people's lives. I have my buddy's Lifey Planner, and the Lifey Planner, shout out to my boy, Johnny G. It's a way that I stay on track, and it's more than just a planner. Like it allows you to journal about your day. It's helping you with goals. So every quarter you set your quarterly goals. And by using this every single day, I keep myself motivated because I know, oh, well, I set my quarterly goals and I need to break it down for my monthly goals and my weekly goals and my daily goals. And because I need that internal completion, like if I set it, if I wrote it down in my journal, then I need to do it. If not, then I'm like, oh, come on, Rich, you know, you should have done that, you know? So that's how I stay motivated. And then also like finding ways to gamify things and just celebrate those victories, even if it's small daily wins, but just giving yourself that reason to celebrate. So those are the things that I find helpful to me as an individual.
What do you have on tap for 2024? I assume it's going to be a busy year. I assume you have a lot of things in the pipeline, so to speak. So can you share a few of those?
Yeah, I can share two. So the first one is a book that I'm writing with a colleague. It's going to focus on communications and marketing strategies for small to medium-sized businesses. So he and I are writing that book together. I'd say we're probably around 70 to 80% done with it right now. That was actually how you and I connected, was because I was talking about doing research for a book that I'm writing.
Oh, yeah.
And our mutual friend, Stacy, brought me into the group. And, you know, Jeff was in there.
And Wise.
Yeah. Right. Wise. So that's actually, I'm doing research for the book right now. To help us fill it out with visual graphs and things like that. The other thing, I'm the incoming president for a local networking organization in my area of Northeastern Pennsylvania. For the longest time, the organization has operated solely as a networking organization. However, my vision is to transform it into something that focuses more on personal development and business growth as well as networking. So really giving the tools and resources for our members to develop as professionals, and then also go to networking events to make those, you know, great, valuable business connections. I've been teaming up with people. We're talking about hosting conferences in our areas and really providing more value through things like blogging and value-based content creation for the members, so that we're not just talking about events, but we're actually giving these people the tools and resources they need to succeed in life and in business. So those are two things that I'm really working on this year, because I really want to make an impact in my community. And I feel that by transforming this organization into something bigger and better, we'll be able to make an even bigger difference in our region.
All right, Rich, let's start wrapping things up. Tell everybody where they can find you online. I know you have a lot of social media and a lot of things to talk about in that for that particular part of your business and of your life. So go ahead and run it down for us. Website, social media, all that.
For socials, I'll be easy with you because I branded it all. So it's just at Coach Rich Perry. That's Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, at Coach Rich Perry. Get me on all the cool ones. And then my website is richperry.com.
The cool ones.
The cool ones, you know?
Okay. I'm like, maybe off air I'll ask you which ones those are, because I'd like to know.
Yeah, the ones I named.
Well, Rich, this has been fun. Thank you so very much for sitting down and chatting with me this evening.
John, thanks so much. And shout out to you and the Deadpool poster behind you. I really appreciate your time. And thank you so much for this awesome invitation and conversation tonight.
Okay, you're very welcome. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to kick it over to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with Rich Perry, talking about what it's like to be a business communication strategist, an author, a podcast host, a jack of many trades, and a master of quite a few, might I add. Well, at least that's what he told me to say. So, no, I'm kidding. Actually, Rich is a great guy, and definitely check out his stuff. You heard him mention all the social medias. Check him out, see what he's got going on. And see, especially if you're in, in business, if you're in a small business owner or you're an entrepreneur, I definitely believe that he's got some tools to help you out. Well, I'm going to start wrapping things up here. And let me start off by telling you where you can get in touch with me if you would like to do so. You can find me on X. My X handle is at PVDMVP. You can also drop me a line over on the Facebook, Instagram, and Threads at PVDcast. And you can even shoot me an email if you like, johnorlando@pvdcast.com. You know where to get this podcast, but maybe you want to tell some other folks. And please do, because word of mouth is a great tool for marketing and advertising. Well, you can find it at pvdcast.com, the online home of yours truly. It's also available through all of those podcasting outlets. You know, the ones like Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Deezer, iHeartRadio app, etc., etc. Just go to your favorite podcast player. In the search bar, put PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should find it. Don't forget to please rate and review, as that'll help me out in the algorithm. And of course, subscribe so that you never miss an episode of the PVDcast. But wait, there's more, as they would say on those late night infomercials. You can also listen to the PVDcast every Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where I do a live Facebook broadcast through the Facebook page. And Saturday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, you can check out the PVDcast on CROC Radio. It's the hottest internet radio station on the planet, and I'm happy to be part of the CROC family as well. So there you go, four very easy ways where you can hear my fantastic podcast. All right, well, that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I want to thank you once again for checking out the episode, and I will chat at each and every one of you
stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy. Following has been a presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2024.